Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Childhood memories and the beliefs that arise from them routinely influence our behavior as adults. It's rare I can do a household chore and not think about how things have changed compared to when I did that same chore as a child. How I do many things in the garden reflects beliefs I learned or formulated watching or working outdoors with my dad. The challenge as an adult is to recognize and keep the beliefs that still work today and let go of those that don't. Sometimes beliefs related to childhood experiences with animals that worked for us as kids can create problems for us as adults with animals of our own. These beliefs take several forms, and each influences the quality and durability of the human companion-animal bonds in which they play a role. Collectively, these bonds remind me of Peter Pan, the little boy who never wanted to grow up. The first belief maintains that it's possible to get a species or breed of animal for a pet that will be identical to the one remembered from childhood. When the animal doesn't fulfill those expectations, those with this Peter Pan orientation often feel disenchanted and cheated. If someone else recommended they get such an animal, those negative feelings may include that person as well as the animal. The belief that it's possible to recreate the perfect pet from our childhood rests on several questionable assumptions. First, it assumes that childhood memories are reliable. But alas, for all of us who treasure such memories, childhood memories are notoriously unreliable. This occurs because every time we summon a memory, we perceive it through the lens of experience and emotions that reflect who we are now, not as we were when we were children. Second, this orientation assumes that we're the same people we were when we were kids. A look in the nearest mirror usually makes it clear to most of us that such is not the case. However, some folks may not recognize this, even when everyone around them does. But regardless how much we may deny that we're no longer kids, most of us, if pressed, will acknowledge that we have more obligations and less time or energy than we did as youngsters. We also may forget that, though we considered that special animal of our childhood as our very own, parents almost inevitably assumed the responsibility for the animal's care. This occurred for quality parental as well as legal reasons. Parents served as a safety net should the animal require care beyond their child's capacity. Most paid for the animal's food and veterinary care. All assumed animal care responsibilities when the child could not, or when the child went on sleepovers, or to camp, or engaged in school, or other events that took the child away from home. They also recognize that no matter how much Bobby or Susie claim Spot or Puff as their very own pet, they, as parents, ultimately were responsible for ensuring the animal was properly vaccinated and licensed and didn't pose a danger or nuisance to others. Yet another risky assumption related to getting a pet just like the wonderful one we remember from childhood, trust that our past and present environments are the same. Either that, or we recognize that the environments are different, but we tell ourselves, it doesn't matter. Wrong again. As human and animal populations increase, acceptance of once tolerated animal behaviors may decrease or disappear completely. Leaping canines viewed as happy or funny in childhood may become a liability to adult owners today. Unlike the next-door neighbor of our youth who accepted the aggressive behavior of childhood's fondly remembered Lil Nipper, today's neighbor might consider Lil Nipper Cujo, or even a dangerous dog. Increased traffic or predatory disease-carrying wildlife, thanks to habitat destruction and climate change, may negate the childhood image of our pet roaming freely without consequence. Children who turned a blind eye to any destructive animal behavior their pets caused years ago may resent those same behaviors when their current pet destroys furnishings they purchased as adults and care about deeply. Even if they don't, their spouse, partner, or landlord might. In addition to assumptions that deny any time-related changes in the animal-associated human and physical environment, this Peter Pan orientation also denies any changes in the species, breed, or population of animals fondly remembered from childhood. But in addition to any positive childhood pet memories owing more to our brain's innate ability to Photoshop, species, breeds, and populations of animals can and do change over time, too. Consider past and present purebreds of the same species and breed. With each successive generation, the purebred heritable contribution becomes more restricted. This occurs because only a relatively small percentage of the animals born who become valued companions will reproduce. Most of them will be spayed or neutered or, if left intact, never bred. Additionally, a fair number of people engaged in breeding still think that it's all about genes. If a genetic test demonstrates that a dog has gene X, which is associated with disease or condition Y, then that animal also will be eliminated from the breeding population. Either because the effect of this decreasing diversity combined with increasing and variable epigenetic factors somehow has contributed to less healthy purebreds, or because the technology exists to create more genetic tests to eliminate more animals, the list of conditions for which spay or neuter is recommended continues to grow. But even if none of this happened, the variability of genetic expression built into the system over thousands of years of evolution guarantees that today's purebreds would be different from those of the same breed in the past. Mixed breeds then and now also may differ dramatically. Instead of shelters offering local animals of companion breeding with known history, those seeking an experience with such a dog of their past in some areas may encounter exactly the opposite. An animal from who knows where of God only knows breeding with little or no reliable history. So what's the take-home message for those hoping to recreate that special pet of the past with all its fond memories? Every animal deserves to be wanted and loved for who and what they are right now, not for any unrealistic expectations we thrust upon them in our attempts to gain a lost youth that can never be ours again and was never theirs in the first place. And if you ever sense any Peter Panism of this sort creeping into your relationship with your animal, consider trading that relationship in for a more grown-up one.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.